us this morning, Jim Buckles. Jim has been with us any number of times on this program. He's a business consultant to the floor covering industry. And, Jim, it's always great having you on.
I'm always glad to be here, Dave.
Well, and, too, and I guess, you know, everybody is home listening to this, I suppose, or at least almost everybody in the country and the world is literally drowning in information about this coronavirus, some of which is accurate and a great deal, I'm afraid, is not. I guess the important thing for retailers and everybody in the floor covering community is their customers and what that customer thinks about this virus as it relates to, say, retailers and business people in this industry, including salespeople and installers. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, it obviously is a large and looming issue in the public's mind. And I think as a retailer, this is not to diminish by any stretch the potential consequences of coronavirus, but the coronavirus isn't your problem. It's people's reaction to it is your problem as a business owner, because you can't do anything about this virus. You can't do anything about what is happening in terms of response to it, availability of testing, or any of that. You cannot change that. But you can deal with this by looking at how your customers' perceptions are evolving, what they're seeing, and what they're thinking, because the final line is always, your business exists to serve the customer. And right now, what that customer needs has changed because they are focusing on all of the things that they're hearing. So your reaction to this changed environment in which we're operating is critical. I mean, there are two quotes that I'd like to visit here. One from the first century Roman philosopher Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, who one of the things he said was, some things torment us more than they ought. Some torment us before they ought. And some torment us when they ought not to torment at all. We have the habit of exaggerating or imagining or anticipating sorrow. Two millennia ago. And so they have the more current 20th century author who spoke in one of his books, that Frank Herbert, in his Doom Theory, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I am permitted to pass over me and through me. And in both cases, it sort of boils down to what my grandmother used to say, don't borrow trouble. You have to look at this and pull your emotions out of it, and instead need to take a look at what is happening, what is real, and how can you address it for both your customers and your company.
I guess in reality, if a retailer is out there listening to us, making their customer feel at ease about interactions with your company, I guess the health of the salespeople, the health of the installer, I guess it is a critical thing in their mind, is it not?
It is. And that's where, you know, the question becomes, what to do, how do I know that I'm doing the right thing? And what I'm recommending to all of my clients, as well as to some people who I've just spoken with more casually, the CDC is posting on their website every day the current information and the guidelines they're recommending to limit the spread of the disease. These are put forth by the people whose entire careers have been about how to limit the spread of disease and to control a disease once it is out in the population. When you have newscasters opining on a particular subject or choose 80 to 100, and supply and demand isn't working in the marketplace. And a no-touch thermometer that you are using not only for your employees, but also for your installers every day. When they come in, it's a quick temperature check. And if they're at 100 or above, they need to go home. They need not work. If they're one of your employees, perhaps they can work from home. But you have to be able to say, well, to your employees and your customers, I'm checking with them every day. I'm asking them if they have anyone in their world that has been affected with the disease. I am checking their temperature. So one of the things, too, if you are working in retail and you've got installers going into the house, that they have gloves. So when they're moving the furniture and doing all that, that they are not touching the furniture and potentially leaving something behind. Just like CDC has said that there has been no known transmission from surfaces, it's all in person to person. But that is not preventing the potential, the possibility. So they are recommending, you know, basically not touching along with the social distancing. You know, your installers can practice that. The customer can open their door and step back. Your installer can deliver their paperwork and step back. You can talk through it. You can bring gloves. It makes for a simple, we are looking out for you. Social distancing. Practicing in the office, allowing people to work from home. You know, if you can't get people to see the parts, maybe you need to figure out if some of them can work from home. A lot of the current software systems that people are using have the ability to be cloud-based, and many various companies have taken advantage of that. It means that they are able to sign on to your databases from home so that they can continue to work. I have someone I work with who, she is a accounts payable processing for an individual company, and she does it 1,000 miles away from them. She signs on to their systems. They are scanning or delivering electronic copies of invoicing to her. She enters it, posts it, and does all the rest, and she never has to be anywhere near the building. Well, you may find that you need to do that as well for your people. They, you need, you know, something as simple as get with the health insurance that your company is using. Get the benefit coverage for the part of COVID-19 and distribute that. All of which comes to a need to, in my terms, communicate daily. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be something. But just letting people know you're doing this. We are putting it out there. We are being proactive about it and following it up. I mean, that's, might be down to surfaces. Right now, the most current things are saying that the virus can live on a non-porous surface for 2 to 3 days. That's stainless steel. That's computers. That's your phone. So wiping that stuff down daily, and there's been no issue with that actual transmission, but then we're sure of it. Your people need to hear from you that you are aware that is a large change in the retail environment or whichever environment, marketing channel you have to be working in, but that you're aware, you care about them, you are taking care of it, and you are putting this out there to follow the guidelines. It is not anything that is made up. It is not anything that is your best guess. It is what is currently recommended by the CDC. As part of that, you know, be proactive with it. Set up a schedule where the common surfaces are being wiped down. You know, there are anecdotal reports of lack of disinfectants that are out there. Think of alternatives. I have seen in different places in the country, local pool supply each other, they just get on the phone and they make things happen. Part of doing this is also put on your webpage that you're CDC compliant, that you are actively doing these things, making these things. People are at home. Look on the web. Put it out there that you recognize it and you are taking care of your people and your customers both by following these guidelines and making certain that it is. And you're working in retail, you've got a retail residential replacement. Offer them FaceTime or Skype appointments. But you know what? We understand that you don't have a desire to interact with anyone. Let us get on the phone with you. Let's get on Skype with you. We can look at your area. There are a number of visualization tools out there on the various websites. If you get to that level of detail, you can take your phone or your computer, your tablet, walk the showroom, show them things. You can have the manufacturer send them a sample. There are ways to keep the business going during this time period. The biggest difference here is that this is going to be essentially reverse of what has happened in prior recession. Because we think first and then small. Because right now, if you're shutting down to slow or diminish the spread of the disease, and as time goes past, and as the disease works its way through, as it has in China, they've had a couple of days without any new cases, then things will be able to start back up again.
I guess the bottom line here for, say, retailers, as you say, you know, business hopefully will go on here, but to assure their customers that they've taken action related to the coronavirus and there's less problems with their working with your people, your salespeople, your installers, and others. And that's really the bottom line, I guess, isn't it?
It is. I mean, anyway, you can get after. A lot of people have the ability to do email blasts. They have the ability to do text blasts. You know, use that. Don't sell. Just let them know you are doing this and you are here and you're making sure that you're available and safe for your employees and your customers. This kind of reassurance is part of what will help the community as a whole.
Now, over and above these assurances and actions one can take as it relates with their customers, it seems to me there's also actions that retailers and others can take as it relates to the whole community.
Absolutely. As a business owner, you are important to your community. There is a certain inherent responsibility that comes from being a business owner in a community, whether it is you're in a multi-million-dollar metropolitan area, million-dollar, million-person, statistical area, you know, Los Angeles, Detroit, Miami, or if you're in a town of 4,000 people. There, you have a presence, and part of your job right now, in my opinion, is that as a community leader, you need to be present. Part of doing these reassurances mean you may well want to contact some of your local charitable groups that are doing things to help a ton of kids who rely on schools for meals. There may be a need to help with distribution. There may be just a flat out need to donate some money to certain organizations. See how you can help without expecting a quid pro quo. This is not about, look at me like, aren't I great because I'm doing this for the community, but you sincerely do what you can to help your community. Now, of course, you know, I could not call myself a business consultant if I didn't talk about what are the corporate ramifications of the current situation in the marketplace. Well, the first thing that you have to do is evaluate the current health of your business. Take a look and see where your stress points are, because it is critical that you know where the business is. This is a pure numbers game. This is not anything about how you feel about it. It's what is happening. One of the things that is going on with the law that was signed just 2 days ago, they are mandating 14 days of paid sick leave for anyone who final one is, if they, you are required to stay home because your child has had their school closed, 12 weeks of paid leave at a two-thirds number will not exceed $200 a day. These are requirements for everyone whose business has less than 500 people. There has been some talk about asking for financial hardship relief for that if it's under 50 people. But once again, the rules are not going to be absolutely precise. So we just don't know, but I guarantee, talking about your telecommunication, these are things that your employees are hearing, and you need to be addressing them, not ignoring them. The way it is set up is that you pay these amounts out, and then you are able to take a credit against your payroll taxes due on your quarterly report. And if you actually paid out more than the taxes, they will rebate it to you. But they haven't said whether that affects current deposit requirements or the rest of it. But you need to be aware as you're looking at the current healthcare business that that is looming on your horizon. The thing that you need to do, and this is a matter of doing it now, do not wait until it is upon you. Create multiple scenarios. Make plans. Look at varying percentage drops in business. By the 10% drop, what am I going to do? How am I going to change my marketing? What am I going to do about my people? What other things am I going to look at controlling? At a 20% drop, a 50% drop. To make, if it is a catastrophic 50% drop in business, if you go through and analyze and say, here's what I need to stay in business. Maybe it's the case of, I have to lay off everybody except the managers who now have to pick up the work and go through and redo it until we come out the other side. But the key to this is doing it before you have to make the decisions. You can think it through. You can make it reasonable. Do your best to ensure what is. In many cases, you may need to look back historically. We were that size. How did we do it? You know, what did our business look like? And we made it, so what does it need to look like again? We also have to consider, as I've talked about those paid sick leave days, what are you going to do for your key personnel on 14-day isolation? Your sales manager, your controller, your installation manager, your warehouse manager. Got key people, and all of a sudden they're not there for 2 days. What are your plans? And communicate those. Let people know. If this happens, this is what we're going to do. I have thought about it. Reassure them. Everything you need to take a look at, this is going to cost some cash. What are your current sources of cash? Do you have a line of credit that you can access? Are you able to perhaps have a home equity line of credit that you're able to tap? Are you going to need to put a mortgage on your, perhaps on your building? And if you need to put an additional mortgage on that, perhaps you have to look at mortgage in your home. But corporately, you need to be sure that you are planning and aware so you do not need your equipment the moment it comes. What all this stuff to mean is, you need to not operate from fear or emotion. Those are not the decisions. Those are liable to be colored by personal likes or dislikes, by what is in front of you at the moment. That is not what you need. Communicate to your people and your customers daily. Internally, externally, what are we doing? How are we doing? What actions are we taking within the community to assist during this difficult time? And finally, have your contingency plans in place. Know what you are going to do before it happens. Do not wait until there's a hole in the book and you're trying to figure out how to patch your prevail.
Okay. I guess... And I'm thinking primarily retailers. This is probably true for anybody, I suppose. It appears to me that business is not going to be as it would be had this not happened.
we handle growth. But we need to stop and create those innovations. And bear in mind, in my opinion, this is going to be reverse loaded as opposed to a normal economic downturn. Because we are stopping everything now, and as they're seeing rates of infection and other things fall, they'll be start loosening restrictions, and things are going to go back. So you're going to see the worst first. And that's what you need to plan on. And then, okay, fine, it drops 50%. I'm laying off everybody but the managers. When it goes back up 10%, here are the key departments I'm going to add to. So know what you're going to do on the backside as well, because it's going to be challenging navigating through the shoals of this current economic chaos. And you need to think about how am I getting through the worst of it, but also what am I going to do when times get better, because they will.
Now, cash. I suspect people are going to have a cash crunch here. How does one deal with that?
Well, that's what you need to value. Where can I get cash? You may have a line of credit, a mortgage, or something you can tap into. If you don't, then you're going to need to take a look and say, how can I change my expenses to produce cash? Cannot cut your way to profitability, but you can certainly reduce things. Perhaps at this time, your marketing budget needs to be reduced because people aren't buying. You want to remind them you're in the marketplace, but you don't need to spend the same percentage that you have been. When you take a look at, work with your vendors. They've been your vendors, you have a relationship with them, and let them know. Guys, things have just fallen apart. Can we extend some terms? Can we make everything I've got 30, 60, 90 instead of 30? Find ways to be creative with it. I fully suspect their vendors are going to be on two ends of the spectrum during this time. We're going to have those who are like, we get it, we value our relationship, and we're willing to trust you and be lenient and extend some terms. You're going to have some vendors who are going to go the opposite direction and say, I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to get paid no matter what. You have to figure out who they are and remember who they are when times turn and things are getting better. Because you know who's truly a better partner with you and who's not. But those are the only places where you can get cash, you can reduce expenses, etc. Simply downturns, many people want. They're talking about doing some changes to unemployment benefits. Many states now offer partial unemployment benefits to people if you cut their hours. It's a significant reduction in hours. Some states will permit them to apply for unemployment for a portion of their job, even while they're continuing to work. Find those things out. Communicate them to your people and say, I can't pay you. I'm going to have to reduce your hours to get through with this. But here at least is a way that you can have some assistance. But don't do it during cash, cut your expenses, or borrow it. If you're a stocking dealer, okay, now is the time to have those special sales on your stocking goods that you can sell and not spend the cash to buy special order goods or replace. How can I liquidate inventories another way? But every individual business will have a different answer to the question.
I've got you. All interesting information. Sum this up for us, if you would, Jim.
Well, first and foremost, don't borrow. Recognize what it is, and don't knee-jerk anything, but instead, be pragmatic, look at the numbers and where it is. Keep talking it to everyone every day. Talk to your people. Update on your website. Let your customers know. Let your people know what's going on. Get your contingency plans in place so that no matter what happens, you have thought about it beforehand and know what you're going to do your community, provide employment, and provide benefit. Okay? And people look at all this. I mean, I am perfectly willing to spend a little time if they've got some thoughts or questions or concerns. If they email me, it's jamesuckles@gmail.com. JamesUckles@gmail.com. And I'm more than happy to spend a little bit of time just answering some questions and giving people some ideas and some resources. Because during this time, if you will, this is my way of reaching out to the community to see how I can help. This isn't just about my business. It's about the industry and how we survive it.
Very good. Jim, I appreciate that very much. Most interesting information. We've been talking with Jim Buckles. He's a regular on this program. He's a consultant. He's a business consultant to the floor covering industry. And Jim, great talking with you. Thanks for sharing this with us.
So glad to do it.